Hello, everyone. Happy Friday. If you know we are, or if you see us live, then you know it is that time for a live session of our Heat Press for Profit podcast. Now, today is a topic that is extremely trending in the custom event space. And I am really, really excited that we have Angie Neese, the owner of That Shirt Shack out of Ohio, to answer questions, talk about, some of her processes. And this conversation really started because I have been paying attention to these hat bars and these pop-up custom decorating events for headwear for probably the last year. And I noticed it started popping up more and more and more. And of course, the more it pops up, that means the more people that are starting to either take on this business, or if you are in the custom apparel decoration world, then it is just a service that you have found that you can offer and really make some good money from it. And in the Heat Press for Profit podcast, or excuse me, Heat Press for Profit group on Facebook, I had asked a question about who's doing hat bars, who is setting them up, who's taking them on. And oh my gosh, the amount of questions and comments that came from that really shocked me. A lot of people didn't know what it was. A lot of people knew what it was, but they just really wanted more information. And there was a good chunk of people that had started doing this, but maybe only a little bit, right? Only a couple of months. And so Angie had messaged that she had been doing offering hat bars or popping up for about 9 months. And I thought she would be one of the perfect people to really just answer questions. And you guys know that, especially when we go live, questions are always welcome. This is definitely a podcast based on community. And this isn't something that I have set up and done, but I am paying very, very close attention to what people are doing, what they're offering, the patches, the equipment, and of course, all the accessories and where they're popping up at. And Angie is doing it just a little bit different. She is popping up at the shows versus offering parties, but we are going to dive in and I'm so excited. So first off, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to tune in live as we go through this discussion and this topic. And of course, if you're catching the replay, whether it is video or you are streaming this on wherever you listen to your podcast, thanks so much for tuning in to the Heat Press for Profit podcast. So, Angie, thank you. Thank you for taking time out of your Friday to be here. Tell us a little bit about who Angie is and what That Shirt Shack has to offer.
Okay, so I am a mom. First and foremost, I have a 21-year-old and a 14-year-old. And this whole shirt shack started because I couldn't find clothing that fit my daughter that I felt comfortable with her wearing to school. Everything was crop this and V-cut that. And it just wasn't, kind of where I wanted our family to be. So I started making shirts on my Cricut, and then that quickly moved to sublimation. And then last year I attended Impressions Expo in Atlantic City. I met Kelly and the whole Stalls team. And then from there we invested in professional equipment. And then we started, so last year I bought my hat press, didn't really know what to do with it. Wasn't really running a bunch of hats. Had bought one run of the patches, the leatherette patches from Stalls. And really, it was so easy. It was so simple. So last year, what we did is we just ran, everything was pressed at home. And then we took everything to the shows, where this year with the hat bar, at the end of last year, we started pivoting a little bit and moving more toward pressing on site. It was a better business model for me because I didn't have to guess what everyone wanted. And then I took my hat press to an event. I was like, we'll just take the hat, press to the vent, see what happens. We were just seeing what happened with the patches that I had. I think I had 3 in stock at that time, and people were just mixing and matching. Hey, can I have this patch on this? Can I have it on this side? Can we do it? You know, and they were kind of just curating their own hats. And then I started, you know, experimenting around with the hat patches. And now we're taking, we're pressing t-shirts on site. We're taking all the blanks with us, all the screen print transfers with us, the hats, the patches. So we are just loading up all the blanks and then loading up all the transfers. And that's where we're going with them.
So there is there's been a lot of change in your business over the last year and a half, probably.
Absolutely.
Here we are already in April, right? And saw you at Impressions in Long Beach, right? Yeah. No, Atlantic City?
Atlantic City, both years back to back.
You know what's so funny is that the days are running together, and it feels like Long Beach was 2 weeks ago and Atlantic City was last week, which is absolutely insane. But so when we first met, from you using and utilizing your Cricut to investing into really professional equipment to this year and everything that you've kind of adjusted with hats and headwear over the last 9 months, you have taken a lot of different steps to get where you are today. And I think it's quite interesting because for some, that might be 5 years, it might be 6 years. And that's perfectly fine, but this is something that you have definitely ran with in a matter of months, you know, like yeah. There's been a lot of change in a quick, short amount of time. And, you know, with hat bars, and for those of you that are tuning in that don't really know what the heck is a hat bar? What does she mean by hat bar, a custom hat bar? I feel like there's a couple of other terms and names for them as well. Angie, do you know any off the top of your head? For some reason, hat bar is stuck in mine.
We call them hat bars here.
And what this is taking a couple of different styles of hats. It could be a dad hat. It could be a trucker hat. I haven't seen too many structured, but it's really just taking that foamy trucker hat and letting people pick out the hat color, and then they get to pick out an assortment of patches that you put on. And we've been showing this trend for, like I said, a year now. And for those of you that are live, this is an example of what you can do. And Angie has some other samples, but it's taking a variety of different textures, different thicknesses, different dimensions, and then just layering them all over the hat to where it just makes your heart happy. And the cool thing about this is there are so many different ways to, one, offer this service. And so we are going to talk a little bit about that. And what Angie has really capitalized on is narrowing down what works for her. So instead of prepping them ahead of time, there is really this whole entire experience that warrants a higher profit, or not a higher profit, but a higher product. And then it also gives you the ability to not have to sit on pre-decorated goods, hoping somebody buys it. So Angie, right now, you know, with starting the headwear and assortment, how many pieces did you say roughly start out with when you did your first versus where you were at today?
I did 25 for my first event. I only took 25 blanks with me.
Okay.
And that was it. I did take my t-shirts with me as well, so it kind of filled in a little bit. I had some that I already had pre-decorated that were left over from previous vendor shows. That they could add to them. So they had screen print transfers on the front of them. And then I just kind of took the patches, and if they wanted to decorate the ones I already had done or just create a whole new custom hat, they could do that as well.
So you kind of, you started off with pre-decorated and then building on to that. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
And then now, have you adjusted to where they are completely blank and it is 100% customization?
Yes. I have moved toward complete customization just because I can never pinpoint what color hat, what transfer, what patches. It's just too hard to do those, the events where I have stuff pre-made. So we start with a screen print transfer. That's normally like our center image. And then they kind of pick which one they want. They can choose from, we have glitter DTF now that we just got in. And then regular DTF and then screen print is typically what we're using on the hats. Have one right here.
Is showing, guys, for those of you that are tuning in audio wise, is she has a very large image over the center. And of course, you guys can go find the recorded options on Facebook as well as YouTube. But she's got a, is it a chenille smiley face?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So she's got a chenille smiley face, a turtle on the bill, a dolphin, and with a wave. So these are very, very large, oversized transfers. And because of how they are layered and the types of transfers she's using, she's bringing in a lot of dimension into the hat. So it's not just flat, and it's really kind of wherever you want to place the transfer. Now, when it comes to offering this service, now I have seen it at a couple of different ways. And correct me if I'm wrong, or you know, those of you that are listening in, if you have seen other places, definitely chime in the comments. That way we can share the information with everyone. But I have seen one either places popping up, say in-home and doing an in-home pop-up hat bar, or at boutiques. And then I've also seen like vendor events, so outdoor vendor events, craft fairs, and you are doing it specifically at, say, like a craft fair or a vendor event. Is that right?
Yes. I already have those contacts from having the t-shirts. So it was really easy for us to slide in. And this is a category where a lot of times if you're running vendor shows, you can't get in because so many people are doing t-shirts in your area, or it's just really hard to get in unless you've been there for a while. This is a market that, you know, you're easy to slide into very quickly because it's still trending. So not everyone has kind of figured it out yet. And there's an art to it. There's definitely an art to, you know, decorating the hats and the quality of the patches and everything else.
That is a great point. For those of you that are already doing custom decoration, so maybe you're doing apparel and accessories, maybe you already have a hat press, but this isn't a service that you're offering, which events aren't for everyone, and that is perfectly okay. So if you are hearing this and you're like, hey, it would be great to do an open house, right? And you have a brick and mortar and you want to bring people in to see what services you offer, that's a great way to attract people. But if you're wanting to get into events and customization, those experiences, there are so many different ways to do this, from setting up at even schools or, you know, corporate functions, to where maybe it's a give back or a celebration, and people could kind of create their own hats, whether it is for a specific theme or even, you know, think corporate, think outside of the box versus just really fun and trendy. But you can set up at trade fairs, you can set up at events, craft shows, outdoor events, festivals, since festivals are going on right now. So much opportunity. Now, when it comes to pricing, this is where I am seeing a lot of variety, which I think is great, because sometimes when we start to see people, oh, so-and-so is now doing what I'm doing, or there's more people that are doing this exact same service, how can I be different? And I think there's a couple of things. One is quality. Your name is going to be tied to the products that you offer. So if you are taking custom orders and you are looking to also grow your custom business versus just your one-offs, keep that in mind, because whatever people take can still be branded with your business. But you also want to make sure that you're providing a quality product. And yes, quality can come with cost. So of course, that higher cost may not be for everybody, but it can be very, very important to people that are paying a pretty penny for a custom piece that they also want it to last. What exactly is your process, Angie, when it comes to pricing? Do you have packages that people can kind of pick out, like level 1, 2, 3? I'm curious to really hear how you are structuring this and what you have also tried.
So in the beginning, I did packages, but they weren't free flowing enough. So like our packages stopped, I think, at 5 patches. I've had 15 patches on one hat. It's literally like a Stanley Cup, but on a hat. And I only have pricing up to that. And I didn't really think about like what happens if someone wants more than 5 to 7 patches on a hat. Like, do I not offer it? And they came, they looked, they said it was a cool idea. They came back later right before and they're like, hey, listen, we know you only do like 7 patches, but like, can we buy more? And they're like, but we didn't want to like sell you out. And they decorated their hat. It was like a Stanley Cup. Every single inch of that hat was covered with a patch. They were overlapping. I'm just like, I don't even know if I can do this. Like, I'm like, they may not stick right. And if they don't, call me, because I will fix it. But like, I don't know. We were layering. We had 3 patches on top of each other. Like, it was a layered hat.
That is so crazy.
I pivoted from the package model to an a la carte model where, hey, listen, this is the base price of the hat, and that's where all my pricing goes. So I front load my hat costs, so I can offer my patches a little bit cheaper. So I know regardless of what patches they're picking, you know, I'm going to make money off of this. And this was, so the hats and the patches are essential. Because they start adding them on, their friends start adding more patches, you know, they're decorating them, and they don't really care what they cost. And if you're front loading your profit on the hat, then, you know, you can afford to have loss leaders on patches. Some of them are just going to cost more than you can charge. But they're, you know, they're familiar with those logos. They know those logos, and, you know, they're willing to pay a little bit more. But yeah, the decoration of the hat and the quality of the hat and the patches, you know, they kind of sell themselves. You don't really have to be salesy when the product looks amazing.
And I think the versatility that you can create, right? If you're not, one that likes a lot going on, then you don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to choose random colors. You don't have to choose random shapes. You could do 2 and be perfectly content. We have done some activations decorating headwear, and it's interesting how many people were just so excited that they could pick out one patch that they loved and the hat, mm-hmm. and that's what made their heart happy. And then there's some people that are like, let's do this. And it's just fun to see, you know, the personalities really come out with what people choose in terms of patches. And the cool thing is there's just so much that you can really do. So something that could be themed to a location or a destination. Something could be themed towards a trending event. I know, of course, when the Super Bowl was going on, I saw several pop-up hat bars start to happen and, you know, decorating in red and gold for Chiefs. And it didn't even have to say Chiefs or football, but people just wanted those colors. And then, you know, instead of having it tied to a specific sport, the colors are relating to, you know, whatever the event. Now, we did have a question from Sarah. She said, hello, how many different patches do you normally offer? Great question.
So I buy patches in two different varieties. I buy bulk packs of a single patch that I know, like Bro, that patch, I know I sell a lot of those. So I just go ahead and get those in bulk. But then the rest of them, I'll order just like a random pack of patches. And I don't really necessarily know what comes in them. I'll get like a beach theme patch, or I'll get a sports theme patch, or like a rock and roll themed, you know, bunch of patches. And they're just kind of whatever you get, you get. Huh. But it's always great to have the surprise of like, they always have something different in them.
That's, and I know we talked a little bit about the types of patches, right? So from direct to film, to embroidered, to chenille, glitter, there's just really so many that you can offer. And I think one thing to keep in mind is not just the amount of different patches, but also sizing, right? If everything is large, then that's going to be a little bit harder to stack in and really create that height or that collage style. So I've seen some people offer 10 patches. I've seen some people offer 20. There is now a trend to do a chain across the bottom portion of the panel. I don't know what to call that. Is that the panel? Considering the panel.
Yeah, the panel.
Yeah, right above the bill. And that's a whole other layer. So if you are adding in patches, you want to make sure that any other accessories aren't covering up, you know, the patches. And I guess at the end of the day, that's in the eye of the beholder, right? If your customer's picking that out on top of everything else, they're just buying your product so you can help guide them. But if they love it and they love it, then that's really all that matters. Sarah, I have also seen people kind of do like a core set. So a specific brand may always have the lightning bolt, the plaid heart, or the checkered heart, the kiss lips. There's been a couple of others, stars, just kind of simple ones on those. And then depending on the vent, they may do a couple of custom or kind of change it. So if you know there's going to be a younger demographic, then you can kind of cater your patches to them. And Angie, have you seen a trend where, and specifically women, because I do feel like this is definitely kind of a women woman focused type of trend right now, but have you noticed that, say, younger, maybe high school, 20s, they want a larger assortment, where maybe an older generation, 30s, 40s, 50s, and I am in that older generation, really kind of want a little bit more simple, but still variety?
Yeah, I think, and I'm in that older category as well now. So I think we curate our hats to match and be a cohesive product. Whereas like my 14-year-old wants nothing cohesive. We're doing like bright purple and we're doing black, and it's a mess. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, all right, it's your creation. We're going to roll with it. But, and then like when she wears it out, she gets compliments and all these kids are like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And I'm sitting there going, that looks like a hot mess. So what I told her, I said, it's a hot mess.
That's my 9-year-old. So yes, I can understand completely. Are you there?
Yes. I think I lost you for a second here.
So while we are waiting to see, just to make sure, Angie, I can see you. I don't know if you can hear me, but Paul did have a question. And Paul, I have a question for you. Can you elaborate a little on how the multiple patch order works? So I can take this question in a couple of different routes. Are you saying how a customer would come to you and have the multiple patch order, or are you saying, how are you ordering the patches for yourself to then take to an event and apply? I'm reading that in a couple of different ways, and then we can kind of dive a little bit deeper on how to explain that. So those of you that are kind of considering, well, how many patches, what events do I do? I think one of the best things that you can do to start is find an event that kind of speaks to you. If you are going to be at a very trendy, event pop-up and you really aren't sure what to take to that, that may not be the place for you, or just ask around. If you're doing, say, a spring fling event and you know you are going to have a wide demographic, get on Pinterest, search Hat Bar. There are also a ton of Facebook groups now that have a focus on Hat Bar information, and people share their tips and their tricks and what they offer. And you will find people that have, kind of started at the very beginning of the trend, and people that are getting into the trend and asking questions. Okay. So Paul has responded and said, the lady on my right, so that would be Angie. She mentioned getting an order with multiple patch options, and she never knows what's coming in the package. So that would be more like an assortment, right, Angie, of what you ordered. Yeah. So it could be, say, a beach-themed assortment, and she's just getting a variety. Maybe every patch is going to be different. Maybe you have two of this, three of that. One of this, it's kind of like getting a sticker pack from Amazon or anybody that makes stickers that says, hey, I'm selling, a bulk sticker pack. You don't really know truly the designs that you're getting, but sometimes that can be the most fun part of this experience. And then taking those patches, if you only have one and it's used and you don't think it's ever going to really pertain to you again, guess what? You used it, it's gone. You can knock it out of your inventory. So there are a lot of people that I have seen, they take like three styles of hats, three colors. And then I recently saw a picture where somebody had about 10 different styles of trucker hats. What do you recommend from experience, Angie, in terms of, do you see a trend with people liking neon? Because they're going really crazy with colors, do they tend to go to a more basic color in headwear?
We have two groups of people. We have the bright ones and the non-bright ones. So our grays and our blacks always sell great. Those are the ones that the men are more apt to pick up and decorate with some, one, two patches. They're happy with those. But the ladies are definitely reaching for those neon colors. Okay. They're bright, they're trending, they're all over the place. And that neon, it's coming back this year. This is the year for neon. I do see, more people gravitating toward the brighter colors, definitely.
So there you go, guys. For somebody that's done, you said, I think you told me 13 events thus far.
Yep.
She has gone through the trial and error. She's paying attention to what is moving. Obviously, where she's popping up, states, demographic, could all differ depending on East Coast, West Coast, North and South. I'm smack dab in the middle of Kansas City, and I have seen a variety as well. However, I have also noticed more people doing like a standard white panel with black mesh. I've noticed that kind of being a little bit more popular, but then that's because it kind of works with just about any patch that's out there. The other thing I will say is pricing. So let's talk a little bit about pricing. You started with packages. You also started with already having kind of like a staple transfer on the hat, and then you can build around that. What I have noticed is here it seems to be pretty popular with the package. So you get your hat and then you get to choose two patches or three patches or four patches, and each level is going to be a different cost. And then after that, each patch is priced depending on size, not by the type of patch, but by size. So the larger, the more expensive, obviously the smaller, the more affordable. So that means if you had embroidery and chenille, and say that chenille was smaller than the embroidered, but the chenille cost more. That's something that you need to take into consideration as you are, one, developing your pricing, what makes the most sense. You'd have to play around and see if kind of doing an average for those small patches, what do you come out to, and then what makes the most sense. I've seen $3 for a small patch, and I've seen $5 for a large patch on top of these packages. So people are easily creating $45 to $70 hats simply because of the patches that they are choosing. So if you are paying attention to this and you're going, there is no way my customers would buy a $45 to $70 hat, you have to take yourself out of custom branded decoration for orders. This is a one-of-a-kind experience, so people know that it's already going to warrant a higher cost. So when it comes to packages, this is something that you just have to play with to see what is best, you know, for your area, for that event. Who's attending? What city are you popping up in? And play with it. And you know what? Be able to flip. At the beginning, if you've got people that aren't biting because you're trying it one way, switch it the next day, or, you know, the later part of the day, and see if you noticed any type of trends. It's okay to be able to play around with something, and you can always run a promo for 2 hours and see if that type of package maybe caters to those that are there as well. Angie, do you do the small, medium, large style patch pricing? I know you had said that because of that one time, that 15 patch hat, you didn't really mm-hmm. have a way to do that. What did you find was best? Are you finding the, you know, average of each patch, or are you really just going, you know what, this is what I feel this could sell at?
So I do my pricing structure is a little bit different. It is a la carte, but I have a battery backup that I take to every event that will power my 360 IQ hat press for 10 hours on a single charge. So that's built into my pricing structure. In the event that my hat press would, you know, it's done phenomenal over the past year, but things happen. If my hat press will go down, so I could buy another one, all that is built into my pricing, because I'm not running this as a hobby. I am running it as a business, you know, in conjunction with our t-shirts. So you have to think about, you know, the cost of, you know, your vendor booth fee and everything when you're looking at, you know, where you're going to make money at. So our patches, depending on which event, I don't take all my patches to every event. I switch up which patches I'm taking to which events. So even if, Kelly, you come to one event that's local here in Ohio, and then say you're in Florida next week when I'm in Florida, and you come to another event, you're going to have different patches to choose from. I never want people to get bored or dull with them. So we have 3 levels of patches. We have our standard patches, our premium patches, and our elite patches. So our standard patches are going to be, like the small smiley faces. They're going to pretty much be anything that's less than 2 inches. And there's a whole variety to those, or ones that I think aren't going to sell, or I just want to get rid of. I'll throw them in that category too. If I'm not a fan of the patch, I'm just like, okay, let's get it out of inventory. Let's sell it super cheap. Our DTF transfers and our screen print transfers, those are at our $3 margin there. And then anything extra large patches, anything that has, you know, something that's recognizable on it, you know, those patches are the more detailed ones. Those are, you know, the ones that we're going to charge our premium rate with. So it goes anywhere from like $3 a patch up to, I think our top patch right now is $7.50. And then, you know, it just kind of goes in between.
So I'm sitting here just smiling because it cracks me up how sometimes we can underestimate the value of our business, right? It's normal to go, well, I don't think somebody would pay for that, or I don't think this is going to do as well as what I think, or you underestimate the people that come to events. And you said $3 for a screen printed transfer, which is going to be what size again? Did you say like a 2x2?
Yeah, so the tallest that we make ours is about 2.5 inches tall.
Okay.
Because to fit on the hat press, I don't want to be too close to any cold zones on the hat press. So we do 2.5 inches tall by sometimes 3 wide, but okay. You want a smaller image on there. You don't want, they're not t-shirts. You don't want to go clear across because then that's less decorating space. And that's going to cut into your profit because if there's not, you want more of a blank canvas around the main image so you can, you know, upsell more patches to them.
So I want to get that yellow hat because, I think putting it into perspective of really the profit potential on this trend is magnificent. So whatever I did with that, I threw it down. So let me just give you an idea. This is 2 screen printed transfers. So we got creative in Atlantic City at our hat bar. So this is 2, maybe it could just be 1, but for now, this is 2 screen printed transfers. This is an embroidered patch, and I think it's about 2 inches, maybe. We've got 2 patches down here. These are 2 individual patches. This is an individual patch, which is maybe about 1.5 inches. Then we've got this one that is either, I think it's a 2 inch. And then we've got this little guy that's probably about 1x1.5. Okay, so we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different patches on this hat. So if you just listen to the pricing that Angie requests, sells for, I mean, just do the math right there in terms of really what the potential of that hat cost would be. And you know what? Nobody else has that hat besides me. So we've got some questions, Angie. Let's go through them really fast. I had to scroll up because there were several that were coming in. Okay, so Sarah had asked, is this available from Stalls? And then Becky had also asked, does Stalls offer these type of packages? Paul also said, are these sample packs? So in terms of Stalls and Transfer Express, we do not offer pre-made patches except for American flag, a stop sign, and what is called scrambled eggs, which are the 2 gold leaves that go on the bill. Those you can order already in stock, ready to ship at any point in time. So anything that Angie is ordering is already pre-produced. So she's just going in and finding sample packs, yes, from other people. It's okay. And then of course, if there's anything that she wants custom, then she can order that through Stalls and screen printed transfers through Transfer Express. This gives her the ability to capitalize on, like she said, familiar icons or images or shapes that are very popular in the industry right now. I have a peace sign on my sweatshirt. Or if there's something specific that she wants to create, then she can create her one-of-a-kind patches through a custom company like Stalls and Transfer Express. Now, with Transfer Express and screen-printed transfers, and same thing for direct-to-film or Ultra Color Max, there's a ton of templates and icons that you can use in Easy View. So you can essentially just pick what you want and order what you need without having to be a true designer or have them custom made, but they are still something that you have to order and choose your quantity. So if you are looking for variety packs out there, I know Etsy has them. I know the A Word has them. If you guys can fill in the last part, ends in an N. And of course, we actually have a lot of customers of ours that also make their own transfers that will sell them at wholesale. So do a little bit of research. I know Angie, I don't want her to give all of her tips and tricks away, but I'm sure she will be more than happy to, you know, help guide you guys as well. And like I said, there's a ton of Facebook groups out there. Okay, so I hope that answers the questions on where to find those. The same thing. So Chris had asked, does Transfer Express sell the stock brand patches or where do you purchase them? Kind of just answered that as well. And I will say that Carly, the head honcho behind that keeps his scenes running, she did ask, oh, she posted a comment that was from Instagram that said, where do you get your packages from? So I think we've answered that from multiple different viewpoints. What's up, Erin? How are you doing? Nice to see a friendly face over here. And he hosts a Two Regular Guys podcast, so you guys will have to check his out. Okay, good. Good information. So what is the range of pricing for these hat bars? I know demographics, location, customer base, et cetera, set costs, good information. A promo for a set time is a great idea. It would be great to know the source of quality packages of patches, even though stalls do not offer these, but we are using your hat presses and other products. Thank you. Well, first, thank you, Patty, for using our presses. But I think one thing to keep in mind is your press is going to be your bread and butter, right? Making sure that you have that accurate temperature, and especially if you have the 360 for that upper and lower heat, is really, really going to help this process be efficient, especially at events when people can get antsy. And if you are doing seven patches, it's going to take a moment. And if they are layered, it's going to take a little bit longer. So I did see a question that said, let me find it. What's your priority of application? What's first? What's last? I'm going to give my two cents and then I'm going to let you give your two cents, Angie, because you do this not all day, every day, but you know, this is your jam. From my experience, the thinner to the thicker. So anything that is super thin goes at the bottom first. Because if you take, say, a patch that is chenille and you put a very thin transfer like direct-to-film or screen print over that chenille, you're going to see the texture of the chenille and it's just not going to look the way it should. So thinnest transfer first, and then you're going to apply your thicker transfers as you go. And of course, if you're doing, say, an overlapping with embroidered, if you have that lower heat, you can actually hold that patch down kind of in an arched method and warm it up. There we go. So first patch would go down kind of like this, warm it up to where it gets tacked on the hat. And then your other one is going to go on top and you can warm this up to where it gets tacked. And then you can apply those 2, 3, 17, 500 hat, you know, transfers, whatever the quantity is in the least amount of steps. So Angie, what is your process, especially with screen printed transfers that warrant a higher temperature, and then patches and emblems have a little bit of adjustment?
Okay, so my DTF and screens, I press those first. I don't put any patches on them. I just press those because they need that even heavy pressure. If you don't have that even heavy pressure, it's not going to peel right, and it's just going to be a mess. So you want to just press those first, and then your second press, if you have the patches on there, especially on both sides of the hat, your heat plate isn't going to touch your screen again. And if it does, it's okay. Cause they're only, I only tack mine. I put mine on for 15 seconds of patch. So it's not going to really heat it up too much. But I will say, if you are going to add patches after your screen print or DTF, make sure that your heat tape is not touching your screen print or your DTF, because it will come off. You can let it cool and you can baby it, you know, baby peel it off real nice and easy, and it might still stick. But I did it last night. I was in a hurry to press something, the hat I showed you earlier, and where the wave hit the D of the sun kissed on the bottom, my heat tape barely touched it. And you know, we were trying to do surgery with it last night. Quick fix though, just overlay a patch over top of where it's messed up, and then you can't tell that it's messed up.
Love it.
You know, things like that happen. So be careful where your heat tape placement is. Make sure you have a good quality heat tape that's not going to leave any residue behind. But yeah, I just, you know, when they're layered, I don't necessarily press the patches layered. I will press, like the dolphin, I press first. And then I took the wave and I pressed the wave over top of the dolphin to make sure that we were getting enough heat to everything without scorching it from the longer heat time. But of course, if you're using the 360 IQ with that bottom heat plate, you're going to be able to tack those down, and the heat's going to come from the top and the bottom. So you're not really going to be pressing it for a long time. Remember the foam on top of it. I cannot stress enough. You need to put the foam on top of it. If you don't have foam, take an old crew neck sweatshirt. That'll work too. Just don't have that heat sitting right down on your patch, because 9 times out of 10, you know, it's going to heat it up a little bit too high, because you're trying to have enough pressure to go through, you know, 2 or 3 levels of patches at a time.
So those were some excellent tips. And it's funny because I use heat sensitive tape, right? If I need to, if I can't get it to tack down, then I'm going to use that tape. Or if I'm trying to do like 5 at once and I'm just going to make it work, right? I'll use the tape. But I have not done a lot of mixing with screen printed transfer, so Plastisol, or even direct to film. So that's a great little note to make sure that your tape is not touching those transfers, so you don't pull that off, especially, oh my gosh, that would be terrible as your last patch for a customer. And then we lost half your wording. Okay. So this is a great, great idea, Miranda. She said, I am just getting into this. I am cutting a bunch of shapes from scrap HTV, glitter, reflective, etc. That way I can make a little bit from what I would normally throw away. That's a great way to utilize what you already have on hand. You've probably already accounted for that waste in, you know, whatever project or order you were working on. So hopefully that's just a great way for you to continue maximizing what you have on hand. Let's see. Matt said, do you have more than one press on site to do different style patches? Aren't they different temperatures and pressures to press?
No. So I have my one press for now. Looking at expanding probably mid-year and having 2 hat presses. But if you have the 360 IQ, which I cannot stress enough, is the best product. That's the most versatile product that we have in our entire print shop. If you have it, there's just a knob on the top. I just do like half a turn to 3/4 turn in one direction, half turn, 3/4 turn in the other direction. And it's really simple to use. So, you know, it's just one of those things that I just have in the workflow. That's almost an automatic thing at this point, is, you know, after the screen's done, you know, we're just going to turn it and it'll be just right for the patch.
So, there is a lot of, you know, I don't know the word I'm wanting, highlight, focus, stress, the time, temperature, and pressure category when it comes to really being able to provide quality products. So when it comes to something like this, all of our patches are upper and lower heat, as well as just upper heat approved for most of them are 20 to 30 seconds. Some can range for 30 to 40 seconds, but it's 280 top, 320 bottom. And when you are getting into something like screen printed transfers, that yes, it does warrant a higher temperature, typically no temperature on the bottom. If you find something that works in this environment, run with it. Because at the end of the day, you're not going to turn around and wash those hats, right? The idea is to make sure it's on there well, and that those thicker patches are really secured appropriately, because nothing is going to be worse than having a patch flap around. And I can tell you, I have seen so many patches that have a gap that are not actually applied to a hat, and it drives me crazy. But you know what? It's not my hat. It's not my problem. And if they are fine with it, then so be it. But just make sure whatever product you are providing for your customers, it's something that you feel comfortable and confident with as well. Because where we stress quality, there are going to be people out there that are just slapping them on there, and they think just warming up that adhesive and it's adhered, it's going to be permanent. So just play around a little bit with what works. Maybe it's one of those things where you don't like messing with screen printed transfers at events, but you know, vinyl works perfect for you. You can still use, you know, heat transfer vinyl. You can still use direct to film. Sublimation might be another one that you could potentially do, just because it is a high heat. But you can get creative and really kind of just go through the experience on what you actually manually like to mess with. Dana, does the item need to be digitized, or do I just send my image? As long as it's vectored, you are good to go. If you are utilizing EasyView on both Stalls or Transfer Express, all of those templates and images are already ready to be good to use. Doug said, we call it build a cap. We do this for a couple of nonprofits, so it's a PR stunt for us. And I think that's fantastic, because what a way to really show what you're capable of. You can either get super creative, or you can keep it as minimal as possible. The hat bar is really open to interpretation, to where it's, you know, the customization of just one logo, or whether or not you want to be uber trendy and do the all over, you know, patch look. And yes, Doug, this is Ultra Color Max on my shirt. let's see. Okay, Angie, we're almost done. Hold on for just a couple more seconds. This has been a very, very, very popular topic. So for those of you that have been tuning in from the beginning, we really appreciate you staying here for the conversation. The last question I wanted to ask was, because you just told me about this one and you mentioned it. This is from CD Ben on Instagram. What is the battery pack, if you don't mind me asking?
First of all, I don't mind anyone asking, and my inbox is open. So if we have questions after this, you can inbox me and I'll do my best to answer my side of it. The transfer side, Kelly is phenomenal with all that stuff. So I have EcoFlow Max. And I bought the extra battery with it. It's actually a portable whole home generator. But it's all battery. It's heavy. It is heavy. But that's, I got it on the A word. That's where I bought it at.
This is cracking.
I think roughly cost wise, I think it was right around 2K. So they're not cheap. And I'm running the 360 IQ hat press from Stalls. So that does take, it does take some power to, run there, but it'll run, our longest event was 10 hours and I still have battery left. Now you can unhook one of those battery packs, the extra battery, and you can go charge it in your car or anywhere else. And then you can also bring it back if you need to.
There you go. The little device that keeps you alive. It's like what I'm going to call it, is a little alive device. Hopefully that helps those of you that are trying to figure out, you know, whether or not you're purchasing. Do you also purchase electrical at events, or is that what you're using then?
I will always purchase electrical at the events. I'm like 125 pounds, and these, the battery packs are like 50 some pounds a piece. So I am not, invest in a Lowe's cart, one of those foldable wagon things, invest in one of those.
There you
definitely
go.
But I will say, for the, as heavy as those they can be, you know, you're not transporting a bunch of stuff to these events. You're taking a few tables, a tablecloth. Everything that I have fits in two of the, I call them the bumblebee totes, the black and yellow totes that you get from Lowe's. Everything fits in two of those compared to me loading up, you know, my entire car with t-shirts and transfers and, you know, my giant 16x20 auto clam. You know, these events are so much easier. They're so much more lightweight. You don't have to bring a bunch of things to it. And the setup can be pretty intricate. So, you know, but definitely the battery pack. The battery, because not everywhere. So you can start out without the battery pack, and that's perfectly fine. That's what we did. We purchased electric in the beginning, but then there were a series of events that were out in the middle of a field at a sunflower festival, and they didn't have electric. So we couldn't go to those events. So that was one thing. And I just bought the battery pack not super long ago. So, you know, being able to capitalize on the market, you have to have versatility. You have to be able to kind of bend with the market. And, you know, now we're able to do that, and we're not turning shows down, opposed to last year where I had to turn a few shows down because I hadn't figured out the electrical component to everything.
And now you can pretty much say yes to 99.9% of all events.
Yeah. And that's why I'm going down to Florida. I'm leaving on Sunday. We're taking the batteries, the hat press, and my two totes with me. Drop ship down there if I run out of product. But you know, it's, you just load it up and go. I don't have to worry about, do you have electric? You know, mm-hmm. am I paying the $100 extra for electric? When I crunch the numbers, within 3 months, the battery pack's going to pay for itself in what I would pay for electric, and hoping and praying that it wasn't a string electric line where, like, it was me and four other vendors on this yep. very skinny, this very skinny extension cord that's not rated for that. You know, you got to be, not everyone understands how much power these heat presses take. So you want to make sure not to create any additional fire hazards, not to overload anything. Because if you do, then you don't have power, but then your neighbors besides you at the vendor event also aren't very happy because they don't have power either.
Right. Everything just blew.
Yes.
Okay. We're only going to answer a couple more questions, but like Angie said, you can definitely reach out to her. She is also in the Heat Press for Profit, group on Facebook, guys. So, head over there, ask the questions. There's also other people doing, you know, offering this type of service. So, she can answer, you can get some other ideas as well. And then you can have, you know, a bowl of different things that have worked for people and really help develop what has worked for you. Because remember, what Angie has created is things that she has gone through, the trial and the error and the process of it, and it's working for her. So just take all of the information that she said, and then also make sure you are kind of going through the experience yourself. That way you can figure out what works best for you. Now, I thought this was a great, great question. Because I know from the experience of me, you know, working some of our activations and talking to people and how they want to lay it out, some of the time can actually come into the conversation of what they want their hat to look like. So Miranda said, do you have them lay out their patches on a template and then apply them, or do they heat tape them onto the hat? I've seen templates online for design hats at hat bars. I think the, like a flat piece of paper with kind of the arch of the front is a great way to let people build what they want. If you let them get a hold of that heat tape, they're going to be blowing through some heat tape. And next thing you know, you're going to have to invest in a heat tape company because that's going to be way too expensive. So the more you can have them do the prep work up at the front to figure out what they want, the better it's going to be when it actually comes to the person doing the application. Because if it takes 3-5 minutes for application, and then you spent 3 to 5 minutes with a customer trying to map out what they want, yes, it's only 10 minutes for, say, a $40 to $70 hat. But the idea is to stay efficient and keep the line moving. That way you have people going, oh, this will take no time at all. Or, you know, the wait is very little. Angie, what are you doing to kind of help that flow and not have people just constantly wait?
Okay. So when I first started out, I had masking tape that they could tape, like do the circle masking tape on the back of the patch. And then they could just like tape it, because masking tape is super cheap. So they could just tape it to a paper template. But now that we're working with the X tool, we're able to just make we use a lightweight wood and we just engrave on it, has our logo on it. We tell them, hey, you know, snap a picture and tag us on Instagram. So we've created an experience where you know, they have our logo pretty much in everything from the time they walk into our booth. Great. To the time that they leave. So that the pieces of paper are nice, but they are very flimsy. Mm-hmm. And the patches can fall off of them. So, you know, a wood design, definitely it's easier to just, you know, here, this is what I want. And then the patches don't really fall or, you know, really go anywhere.
Great. There you go. There. I mean, solution. I love it. I'm so solution oriented. So, you know, if paper is annoying to you, then get some templates, and then people can have a little bit more durability when it comes to laying them out and then actually getting them on to the press. Okay. The last question we are going to answer, and I will do my best to try to pop into some of these, is Becky had asked how you display your patches, and follow up to that is also in regards to how they are picking them out. I have seen people display them vertically, kind of on like a sticker assortment, whether it is a rotation or spins. I've seen people go and get organization containers that you can get at Hobby Lobby or Michael's. And then that's how they kind of do the sizing per the space. So if you have one that's a little bit smaller, like a bead container, that would be your small, and then those patches fit in there. What about you, Angie?
So I'm very much, I guess, with the idea of you start here and then you upgrade later. So when I started, I literally went to Dollar Tree and I got clear containers, and I just bought a whole bunch of them. And then I found a clear, I think it was at Joann's. I had a coupon for Joann's, a 50% off coupon. So I bought a 3-tier display thing. It was in the bridal section. It was clear. And then, you know, there's 3 tiers to stack it on. I put it on top of a crate that I already had laying around the house, like one of those wooden crates. And I cannot stress enough, when I buy displays, I will go to Joann's with the coupon every other day if I have to. Just because, you know, it's easy and you can see it. I've ordered stuff off, you know, the A word. I ordered stuff off there. But I I never know what quality it is. And I want to see how sturdy things are, because when the wind comes, the wind comes. And you don't want something super lightweight, or you want to figure out how to weight it down so not everything's blowing away. But I do like the trays versus laying them flat on displays, just because when the wind does come, if it's in, you know, something that has some sides to it, it's not going to take it and blow it away. That was our first vendor show, is the wind came and literally all my patches were scattered all over the place. So yeah, just, you know, just make it work for you. We are going to upgrade to more of a organized container this year, but you know, you just kind of start where you start.
You guys, people will also dig. So if you have small containers and you just do your assortment, and that's kind of how it's going, people will dig for their perfect patch. So, you know, it really, it also depends on who you are, what type of person you are. Are you going to be annoyed if your organization isn't, you know, up to par? What solution can you do? What, you know, there's so many different, solutions out there to actually display them. You could even just do one, right, lined up, and then have the buckets or containers with the pricing on them, and then let people die for them. I mean, it's bobbing for apples, but they will do it because they want to find that perfect patch. So, okay. This is probably the longest podcast we have done thus far. So shout out to Angie for all of the information and hanging on. And of course, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. There was a question about what your business name was, where they can find you. How can people get in touch with you, follow along, and connect with you, Angie?
So always That Shirt Shack. That's on all of our social media handles, this That Shirt Shack. And then because I'm an one that wants to be organized 90% of the time, it doesn't happen. I have created, it's called The Hat Bar Affair. It's on Facebook. I haven't established my other social media profiles just because there's some things you're going to want to keep separate. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our vendor shows are like, oh, we're already full of t-shirts. I'm like, but I'm bringing hats. You didn't read my bio.
You read all the
So there was a little bit of confusion there. So I was like, okay, well, let's just separate it out a little bit. So we have That Shirt Shack that will always have everything on it. But if you want exclusive Hat Bar content, that's going to be on the Hat Bar Affair.
Perfect. So you guys have heard it from Angie on how to stay in contact or just reach out. And like I've said, I've talked about it a couple times, but the Heat Press for Profit group on Facebook is a community that we have built of decorators of all different types and all different types of decoration methods as well. People that are also brand new and people that have been, you know, in this industry for 20, 30 years. So pop in there, ask the questions. Angie is very active in that group. And like I said, there's just always people willing to help in that community. And not that there isn't, you know, somebody willing to help outside, but it's just a great way to, you know, stay connected and build some relationships. Just because you might have somebody that's doing the exact same business as you does not mean that you can't utilize each other versus looking at as a competitor. So Angie, again, thank you so, so much for the additional 30 minutes of your time on
this. No problem. And I just wanted to add real quick,
yes.
if they're in the group and they have a specific question for me, they can tag me in the group and I will respond to it. I might not always see everything in the group, but if you tag me in the group, I absolutely will respond to that. It'll come up in my notifications. And it just ask questions. That's how I learned how to do everything. I asked a bunch of questions and, you know, people are very forthcoming with this. You're not in competition with people. You're really not. I have a local screen print vendor that I literally this morning just pressed a whole bunch of Stahl's hat patches, the flex styles, because they needed help. Work with your people, network with your people, you know, really get to know them because you're going to need help at some point. there's going to be something that comes up and you don't know how to do it, or you need some extra guidance in it, and those are going to be your go-to people. We're not in competition with anyone else in the industry. We compliment, everyone, and we're here. It's, we're all a team.
I love it, Angie. Well, thank you so much again. And everyone, I hope you have a great Friday and an even better weekend. So I'm signing off. Happy decorating, guys.